And that's George dancing off to the Church of the Holy Smoke. Good morning, this is Jack, and I'm going to be here for an hour with this little program on behalf of the environment, and I'll just be talking about various gossipy environmental issues and playing a bit of music. I didn't have the opportunity to meet George, or actually I think I met him once, because I've only really been hanging around in here for the last couple of months on a regular basis. But I have had a chance to hear his music over the last couple of days. Steve has been working very hard to put together a CD of George's music, and I listened to that last night in the hemp bar. We had a small wake, I suppose. Yeah, it was great. Lovely bit of music. I was happy to have that here today to play for you. But anyway, he's obviously a great man. He's impressed a lot of people, and a lot of people speak very highly of him, and a lot of people have been very distressed by his passing. So go well, George. And as for Uncle, I think his name might even be Charlie. Yeah, I only actually got to meet him once or twice in the last month. I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to have your doctor tell you you're going to die very soon and then die very soon. And he was obviously quite a sick man, although he still was out there walking around and coming in to the hemp bar for the occasional coffee for those the last week. But it's obviously it's quick, much better than going on that long, protracted, hospitalising, chemicalising way of death, I guess. Quick as you can. Give yourself time to say goodbye to your friends. Anyway, I'm hoping not to do that for a while. Well, I am getting a bit concerned, you know, after this play of Bob Tissot's that I was recently a part of. It's become, I think he's quite a prescient man. It's becoming distressingly, well, not distressingly, but a few of the little things that have occurred in the play are sort of coming true on the street, and they have done over the last few months during rehearsals for me, and actual physical things, almost repeating the things that occurred in the play, and plus just a lot of little sporadic things where lines come up in other movies, and they're just direct lines that, or perhaps Bob stole them from that movie, I don't know, but anyway, just it's been very interesting. And now with this stuff with Sea Shepherd and all, those of you who didn't see the play will have no idea what I'm talking about, but I shall continue to ramble on nevertheless, and hope that there's enough of you out there listening that did see the play and enjoyed it and will relate to what I'm saying. But now that now with all this stuff happening out there with in the southern oceans with Sea Shepherd and the Japanese whalers, that's starting to ring a little true too. So my main concern is, for those of you that saw the play, at the very end I get shot dead for performing a good deed, basically. I was physically attacking the Prime Minister, and I get shot dead by one of his minders. So yes, I'm just a little bit concerned that that aspect of the play might come true. So now you'll notice I'm wearing a bulletproof waistcoat around town. Lots of interesting things to talk about this morning. Did you hear about the cane toad that got to Melbourne possibly in a palm tree that was imported from Queensland and then sold on through one of the chain stores? Some fellow was sharp enough to pick it up, as in actually physically pick it up. He thought it was a frog. Anyway, so I don't know what they did with it, but they caught it. So whatever it was, it won't be spreading the cane toad menace in Victoria. But I believe that actually it's quite a common thing for cane toads to hitchhike rides on trucks coming down from the wetter lands and northern areas where they live and getting it down south. That's one of their ways of getting around. There's a little bit of catch-up news from the recent Repco rally. Some of you may remember the Repco rally. It is a bit of a dim and distant memory considering how important it was at the time. But anyway, still, it is quite interesting. The follow-up now, we still haven't had this, to my knowledge, we still haven't had a reliable bunch of information published by the local authorities to point out exactly how much money was made, how much of a profit the local shires made, where all that money went that was invested by the state government in this, and whether or not we're going to be having more of these. You may well have noticed that in fact the management of the organisation pretty well deconstructed itself. And other little things that have come off the side of this, people being charged for graffitiing the road, whereas rally drivers who were breaking the law and were photographed breaking the law and seen breaking the law were not charged. And I think the police superintendent said something utterly ridiculous, such as, well, this is how he's been quoted, who knows whether he said it or not, "Police will not charge rally drivers because they were provoked by anti-rally protesters." And as somebody points out in a letter to the Northern Star, there's never been a defence for dangerous driving, that someone else was doing the wrong thing. Quite right. We're responsible for our own behaviour, aren't we? So are the rally drivers. And they should be well aware that they're not allowed to break the law, and they should be punished if they do. They're not encouraged to come back on a yearly basis, as Mr. Ross Brown, the Mayor of Kyogre, seems to want them to do. Have you been keeping up to date with this stuff that's going on in Copenhagen with all the so-called leaders of the world gathering there to decide our future? It's quite interesting to see there's still a huge amount of activism in Europe, and people are being tear-gassed and bumped around by the security police to keep them away from the climate summit, as they're calling it. Don't want any normal human beings interfering in the behaviour of the world leaders, do we? Getting an opinion in there?